welcome everybody to the latest All Lions Bang the Table podcast. I am the Doc, John McEnroe. Joining me, my guy Vito Churco, here today to recap the first week of NFL free agency for the Detroit Lions. Wasn't quite the frenzy that maybe many people thought it would be, but I felt like Brad Holmes did a really decent job. Now, the interesting aspect of what Brad Holmes did was there was a concerted effort to upgrade the defense, to fill holes along the defensive line with Marcus Davenport and DJ Reader. And then you look at the two additions in the defensive backs with Robertson, and you look at the trade that was made for Cameron Davis, and you look at, Carlton Davis. You look at a player that I think has a chance to compete to be a number one cornerback. So, Vito, I'm curious, when you look at it, I know Brad Holmes didn't make the splashy free agency signing, but I think that DJ Reader, even though he's a veteran, a solid player, I think that's definitely a move that many fans can gravitate toward and say, you know what? Pairing him alongside Aleem McNeil, if he can stay healthy, I think has the potential to bolster a run defense that was already good to begin with. And you look at it, and I know that the cornerbacks room wasn't all that great in 2023, but I think adding Davis and Robertson and hopefully Emmanuel Mosley can get healthy, I think at least you can say there were upgrades made in free agency. And I think that's a good starting point when we're looking at evaluating what Brad Holmes did.
Well, John, first and foremost, I'm glad you removed the suspension for me from being on All Lions here on this Bang the Table podcast. So I appreciate that to start here. But, you know, it was a solid week to start off the offseason for Brad Holmes. I really think it was, John. Now, was it tremendous? No, I wouldn't go that far because he didn't make that splash signing. He didn't make that maybe big time, hugely, hugely impactful move that people thought he would, at least until he acquired DJ Reader, right? I think acquiring him is a significant move to bolster the D-line, the interior of the defensive line. So, you know, he's not of the caliber of a quarterback such as L'Jarius Sneed or maybe Stephon Gilmore, who I would love to still see the Lions sign. Now, I know it's not the most likely at this point. But Reader, I think, by far was the best signing made by Brad Holmes in the first week of free agency, the first truly 2.5 days of the official free agency period in the NFL. And because this guy is a run-stuffing presence along the interior of the defensive line, as you know, John, no doubt about it, a guy that can be a really good running mate for Aleem McNeil as well, right alongside Aleem on the interior of the defensive line, but also a guy that graded out pretty well as a pass rusher with Pro Football Focus the past two seasons. So Reader is truly, I believe, you can argue, John, right now, a significant upgrade for this Lions defense, and not only once again for their run-stopping efforts, but also for their pass rush along the interior of that D-line. And then, as you noted already, too, they did grab a couple of quarterbacks, first via a trade with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, getting Carlton Davis III, who I do like myself. I do like the guy. I respect the guy, what he's accomplished. He's a Super Bowl champion. He was at the Buccaneers, had a good career there with the Bucs. But is he truly a number one cornerback with those shutdown cornerback capabilities? I'm not going to go that far with Carlton Davis, okay? I'm not going to lie to you and say that, oh my gosh, this guy is going to be this elite shutdown corner now for the Lions moving forward in this upcoming season. But can he be an upgrade at the position? Yes. Can he be a number two caliber cornerback for the Lions in their secondary? Yes, as well. And then, as you noted already, too, they did also add, via free agency, Amik Robertson, a guy that played the last four seasons, his first four NFL seasons with the Las Vegas Raiders, and played more and more the past two regular seasons, too. Had a couple of interceptions in each 2022 and in 2023, and can play both in the slot and on the outside as well, John. So this is a guy that can be a versatile depth piece for the Lions quarterback's room. So I do like that addition as well, getting him from the Raiders. He is more of a number three cornerback, though, right? He's maybe at best a number two cornerback. And then outside of those cornerback acquisitions, you look at Marcus Davenport, who you noted as well, on a one-year deal, kind of a prove-it deal, which Brad Holmes loves to go out and get these kind of guys, right? And these one-year prove-it kind of contracts, too. We've seen that out of Brad Holmes in the past, including now in this offseason, too, with acquiring Davenport. A nice edge rusher, John, who only played in four games a season ago with the Minnesota Vikings, the NFC North rival Vikings. But before that, spent time with the New Orleans Saints and was pretty solid with the Saints as well, coming off the edge and also along the interior of the defensive line. So we know he's a versatile defender as well, which I believe the Lions defensive coordinator Aaron Glenn does admire, a guy that spent time, remember, with Davenport in New Orleans, along with head coach Dan Campbell. So Campbell and Glenn are familiar, very familiar with Davenport too. So I think that was a reason as well for why the Lions acquired Davenport this offseason. Really, a low-risk, high-reward kind of acquisition out of the Lions and getting Davenport. So I like him, a good acquisition for the D-line. And also, once again, Reader, really the best of the best for the in terms of moves made by Holmes thus far this offseason. And another guy that will definitely, John, provide a lot of value for this Lions defensive line in 2024 and for the Lions defense as a whole, too.
Okay, let's take a look at kind of some of the reactions that you hear from Lions fans and the way in which they perceived it. Do you think they needed to make a big splash? Because the argument can be made, yeah, if you go out and get and trade for a LeJarius Sneed, he's been rumored to potentially be on his way out of Kansas City. You recognize not only do you have to trade draft capital, but you also have to make a long-term financial commitment of possibly over $20 million per season. And that's a player that has already won Super Bowl rings. Do you want to commit big time dollars to a player that potentially, you know, you recognize is going to be quite costly to add to your team? And you look at it and you say, well, yeah, maybe the likes of a Christian Wilkins who ended up signing with the Texans. You realize, my goodness, you know, did you need to go out and get higher ranked players? But when you look at it, Brad Holmes has clearly stated that they're looking for fits. They're looking for a lot of different variables outside of just talent. And part of the cost, part of the evaluation is how much is a player going to cost? How much motivation does a player have to come in? And when you look at some of the long-term contracts, I think maybe the one that maybe raised a little bit of an eyebrow is the contract for Danielle Hunter. 2 years, you know, I think valuable in regards to the average annual salary that he made. But at the same time, there are factors that we don't know. Many people are reporting that Hunter did indeed want to play for the team that he signed with. And you recognize, okay, you know, maybe maybe offers were potentially feelers were sent out. And he said, you know, I prefer to potentially sign somewhere else. And so there's a lot of information that you don't have at times that helps that maybe if it was out there potentially would help, you know, give people a little bit better view. But at the same time, I understand. I think that fans should want the Lions to pursue the best players. So for me, the sting is not getting LeJarius Sneed potentially, because you look at it, if you can get him for a third round pick and you invest $20 million, I think you're going to get a good return, because no doubt, I think you could potentially put him on one side of the field and you're going to have, with an improved pass rush, a very decent opportunity to have success. But at the same token, you recognize that Davis brings a swagger, a skill set, a little bit younger. So there's some benefits as well. So for those, Vito, I'm curious, for those that are clamoring for the big name, are you starting to become more accepting of the fact that the Lions target a different type of player?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, it's been proven now in years past, right? I mean, Brad Holmes doesn't love going out and making that splashy signing, right? That's not his M.O. It's not his bread and butter. It's not what he does and has done in the past as Lions general manager. That's been proven offseason after offseason at this point, as you know, John, far too well, right? And it can be a good thing. Mostly has with the Lions in the past as well in building this winner that he has in Detroit, because he definitely has done that, has constructed a very competent roster, especially on the offensive side, but, you know, decently on the defensive side too. To me, though, that's where I can find fault, as you drink your coffee there. Enjoy that slug of coffee there, all right? I love my coffee, too, on a Saturday morning like this as we record this podcast, John. But to me, that's where maybe I would fault Brad Holmes, is on the defensive side of the ball. Sure, I would love to have seen him acquire a big-name free agent. And maybe he'll get that in the draft, that big-time, impactful player. And I love, once again, DJ Reader. No offense to Reader. He's a really, really good player. The most impactful signing that they have made thus far this offseason. Probably will end up being the most impactful guy they sign this offseason. But, sure, you said it. Fans were clamoring for LeJarius Sneed. I kind of was myself. Even with the draft capital, you knew that Holmes and company would have had to have given up to acquire Sneed from the Kansas City Chiefs. But you can almost forget about that. If you say that's too much to give up, and you can make the argument because you would have had to give up the draft capital. So let's disregard Sneed for a second here. Still, you could have acquired Stephon Gilmore, who is still available in free agency as we speak here on this Bang the Table podcast. So maybe you still go out and get him. Probably far-fetched, probably a pipe dream from us as pundits here, from a bunch of Lions fans out there that are still clamoring for that big name acquisition for the Lions in their quarterback's room specifically, and a guy like Gilmore. But man, he would be, to me, the definition of a number one quarterback. He would really, really strengthen that secondary. Once again, solidifying that quarterback's room with him as the quarterback's group, with him being the number one quarterback, Carlton Davis being the number two, Cam Sutton being number two cornerback B, number three cornerback-esque, right? Amik Robertson as a number three cornerback as well. You would really start to think that maybe, John, once and for all, that you have a strength in that Lions quarterback's room, John. How great would that to be saying? The Lions actually have a strength in the secondary, specifically at the cornerback position. Because they haven't in my lifetime, it seems like, as a Lions fan, outside of having Dre Bly back in the day, right? A long, long time ago. I mean, since they've gotten good here under Brad Holmes, and really just this past season, they haven't had the greatest secondary. They've been flawed extremely, especially at the cornerback's position. And even at safety now, right? It looked better towards the end of the season with Melifonwu and Kirby Joseph. They were really good down the stretch, especially Melifonwu was. But even you could argue maybe they make a veteran addition at safety, right? Go out and get Jordan Fuller, who played most recently with the Rams, still out there as a free agent. Maybe add him kind of last minute here, as they did with C.J. Gardner-Johnson last offseason. And sure, that didn't work out the best for them because of Gardner-Johnson's injury issues this past season, but Fuller is a proven vet. Maybe you had him, you know, maybe you do add him to the safety mix there for the Lions. And then he further strengthens that Lions secondary too. So just some options out there. And there still are some options out there like that, John, that you could add to your secondary that really, to me, would be hugely impactful acquisitions, especially Gilmore. And I'll make the plea all day long for Holmes still to add Stephon Gilmore. I just don't see it happening. And once again, it goes back to your point, John, that Brad Holmes is satisfied with making the lesser acquisitions, with making those middle-tier acquisitions, guys that truly fit the locker room and the culture in Detroit. He is much worried about that, getting those type of players for himself as Lions GM, than going out there and making that big, splashy free agent signing.
Yeah, and I agree. I think when the proof is in the pudding. The results indicated that we have to trust Brad Holmes. I mean, the team got to the NFC championship game within 30 minutes of being in the Super Bowl. So there's a little bit of credibility that is established. And you see a football team that's obviously clearly willing to kind of forego the splashy signings. But at the same token, I do respect those that say, hey, you know, wait a minute. You know, talent wins out. Big time football players make big time plays. You know, Deebo Samuel, Brock Purdy, George Kittle, big time players were making big time plays against the Lions. And so you recognize, too, that people do understand who the good football players are. But in the end, you get what you pay for. And these contracts were crazy. You look at it and you had some publications saying that there's no way Arik Armstead's going to make $17.4 million. Well, he got 3 years, $51 million. That's that, you know, because the salary cap did go up a little bit, it made it so that the cap individuals, the individuals that are working in the salary cap in the front offices, they're kind of willing to kick the can down the road and overpay and overspend for older veterans. So you realize that for Brad Holmes, he's looking at a young, hungry football team and he wants to sprinkle in veterans. Now, the other big concern though, Vito, which is legitimate and you're starting to kind of see maybe why you target these type of players is naturally speaking, when you have guys coming off of injuries, they can't command $20 to $25 million. There's some things that also allow the Lions to have some leverage. And I think Brad Holmes likes to negotiate from the position of a positive leverage situation, which most people do. But at the same token, Emmanuel Mosley, 2 ACL injuries. DJ Reader, 2 torn quad muscle injuries. Davis, Robertson have missed games. Now, I know every NFL player gets dinged up. Nobody playing that sport is quote unquote healthy from the moment they step foot on the field. But in the end, you recognize there is risk involved because we did see it. We did see Emmanuel Mosley only last a couple snaps and then his injury was more impactful than many people would believe and are talking about. You know, because you didn't see him, he was only on the field for a couple snaps. It really sent the secondary into a tailspin because you forced Cam Sutton into a role that he's not comfortable with. You then are relying on the likes of Kendall Vildor and Jerry Jacobs to play a position, Will Harris, which you recognize, you know, that's the reason why they upgraded the secondary is you recognize, okay, you got to upgrade the talent. You got to have guys that compete, that are gritty, that can make plays. So in my mind, there is a risk involved in having these players potentially get hurt in a critical moment. Marcus Davenport missed a big chunk of the season. So yeah, it's not something to laugh at, but it is kind of, if you want to enjoy some jokes online, many people are joking that the Lions go shopping for guys that are injured because it's cheaper. And, but at the same token, I think Brad Holmes and the coaching staff understands the risk reward. And, you know, we can save the jokes about the Lions and their pursuit of injured players, but if they can stay healthy, and that's what everything is predicated on really for any football team, if any football team stays healthy, if you get everybody and you get some injury luck, this football team is better. I think Davenport, I think is going to be on a deal that potentially is going to make him prove it. I think that DJ Reader got that second year. That's great. I definitely think that, you know, if, you know, Carlton Davis proves it, he can get a long-term extension with the Lions or somewhere else. So I like the fact that, you know, like in anything, I like the fact that the deals are not so long-term that it shackles the Lions in any kind of way. But at the same token, the injury history and the level of talent, you can always debate, could be better. You could have went a different route. You could have even pushed all in. You could have just said, we're going to get Wilkins, we're going to get Snead, and we're going to make 24 our make or break year. And if it doesn't happen, we'll take a step back in 25 and push again in 26, because the cap's going to go up probably another $10, $15 million every single year. So I understand. I do not discount the critiques of supporters. They're very valid. The Lions could have gone a different route and maybe even been better than they are today.
Well, and really quick too, the Lions had how much cap space going into the offseason, right? 45 plus million in cap space. And then you look at it like, oh, they're spending their money on bargains. Why? Why not go for the top tier guys? You know, go big or go home. Go for the home run type players. The Legarius Sneeds, the Stephon Gilmores, Christian Wilkins, the Danielle Hunters, who the Lions are rumored to maybe be interested in. But it seems like Brad Holmes has always resisted when it comes to those big price tags, right? He always takes a step back and says, no, thank you. No, gracias. I'm not going to deal with those big, high-priced free agents, right? I don't want to spend the money on those guys. Even when now your Super Bowl window looks like it's wide open, at least for 2024, and still you're resistant to that. So I get it fully too, John, why some of these fans and pundits like are like, well, it's a turnoff. The fans especially, right? They really have the passion for the Lions, obviously. They're like, I'm turned off by this by Brad Holmes. Why won't he spend the moolah? You have all this cap space to spend, and you're not willing to spend it, but you're going to go get bargain-type guys, low contract guys, guys that have been hurt, like you said, that really, you don't know what you're going to get out of them, right? You don't know if they can stay healthy. All these injury risk guys, like Davenport, who only played in four games a season ago. Carlton Davis battled the injury bug last year. All these dudes, Emmanuel Mosley, right, hasn't stayed healthy for two straight seasons, as you said. They resigned him. So they keep pulling the trigger on guys that haven't been able to stay healthy, and the best ability is availability. And especially now when you want to be a winner consistently, you want to win it all. I would believe in 2024, right, you were that close to making the Super Bowl. Now you want to get to that level, right, and win it all. You need guys that are healthy, right? So we can go on and on about this, too. And the biggest thing is that the Lions fan base definitely has the right to say, we're not totally, totally happy with these signings because of that, because you're relying on guys truly to stay healthy. And you're relying too much on the theory of, well, if they're healthy, they're going to be good. Yeah, then you know you have a great edge rushing complement for Aiden Hutchinson in the form of Davenport if he stays healthy, right? You know, you have a really solid number two quarterback in Carlton Davis if he stays healthy. With DJ Reader, too, you know you have a great counterpart for Ali McNeil along the interior of the defensive line. But all if they stay healthy. You got to worry about whether or not they stay healthy. So to me, it's a risk Brad Holmes is taking going into the upcoming season. But once again, this has become his bread and butter, his MO as Lions general manager. And throughout the course of his tenure, he hasn't swayed from it. And it's just at this point, in my opinion, who Brad Holmes is as a front office decision maker.
Yeah, and also, too, you raise the prices on the fans. So if you raise the prices, they want more box office players.
Sure.
But at the same token, wins are a factor when you look at what Brad Holmes is trying to accomplish. So winning cures all. As long as this football team gets back to the postseason, wins the division again, can get back to the NFC Championship game, and hopefully advance to the Super Bowl. There's a lot of motivating factors this year. It's in New Orleans. Can you imagine the – I just think that Dan Campbell, Aaron Glenn are going to be willing to work that much more harder to be able to get back there, having been coaches in that building. Could you imagine the Lions win the Super Bowl, and it just would come full circle for a lot of players. Alex Anzalone as well. Extra motivation for him, having played for the Saints. Marcus Davenport as well. So now you got to look at it too, Vito. Not only do we have to look at and evaluate the acquisitions, we have to look at the departures. And boy, it's crazy to think that Jonah Jackson got $17 million per to join the Rams. CD Deuce, that contract is still head-scratching. Coming off of an injury-plagued season, the Eagles said, we need to get our guy, and gave him the same deal that Cam Sutton got. 3 years, $33 million. Average annual salary of $11 million. Any argument made to potentially, you know, if you say sign your own, I do think the Lions got a little bit worse because they now have a hole at left guard, which is not going to be easy to fill. Yeah, it could be in the draft, could be Colby Sorsdahl, but Jonah Jackson provided a level of stability and was part of a cohesive unit that many people were beginning to become accustomed to because of how good they protected Jared Goff. The run game was a lot more proficient. You saw the emergence all throughout the year of Jahmyr Gibbs. So I think you get worse by losing Jonah Jackson. CD Deuce, you know, is a little bit more of an enigma because he presents something that the Lions in the locker room maybe not totally accustomed to, but now we are, a guy that's brash, that really is not going to hold anything back, willing to call out reporters, willing to just stop talking to the media if he doesn't like something. But I think the lasting legacy too is he talked a lot of trash. And then the last game that you remember him, he's missing tackles left and right, takes a penalty at an unforeseen moment, but it wasn't as costly as it could have been. But Dan Campbell told him, don't take penalties. And what's the first thing he's doing is taking shots at Deebo Samuel. That's exact. And I think that's probably part of the reason why the Lions didn't invest further in him, didn't make him a priority, didn't feel the love to come back. But at the same token, you're not going to pay CD Deuce in Detroit $11 million per season for 3 years. That's wild. And you know, it was crazy. What a great way to re-ingratiate yourself back to a fan base. CD Deuce said, I hate the Philly fans. Well, when he gets a contract for $33 million, on second thought, I love Philly and I love the Philly fans.
Absolutely. The city of brotherly love.
And city of brotherly love.
He performs, as long as he performs right by the money talks, it definitely does. And here's the guy really quick. I know I'm cutting you off a little bit, but you know what? With CD Deuce, I wanted to say this. He didn't back up his talk. He didn't back up all the trash talking. He wore the ski mask, was humiliated, but got hurt against the Seahawks in week two, missed the majority of the rest of the regular season, only played in the season finale a little bit, then played in the postseason, was miserable in that NFC Championship game against Deebo Samuel, the guy who was trash-talking all year long, was like, hey, I'm better than you. I'm going to go out there and beat you head-to-head. He got annihilated in that game. Couldn't tackle a soul to save his life. He was that bad in the NFC title game, too, against the Niners. So that was the last taste of anything that we got out of C.J. Gardner-Johnson in a Lions uni. And it was horrible. He went out on that note, a hugely sour note. So for the Lions not to resign him, I don't care at all. Good riddance, adios, amigo. They don't need him. They don't need him at this point. Now, could you make the argument that they should acquire now a safety? They have a minor hole there now, and probably in the form of a veteran presence. And Jordan Fuller. I'll say his name for a second time, maybe the last time today. So I'm not going to cry. Okay, it looks like maybe I've been crying a little bit. I got, you know, my eyes and the light and all that crap. But I'm not crying because of CD Deuce being gone. Maybe left guard Jonah Jackson. That's a void now. You're right, John. You nailed it, too, that you have to fill along the interior of the offensive line. What are you going to do there? Because of Colby Sorsdahl and the other interior options they currently have on roster, they're not the guys to fill the void right now, at least. Maybe in the long-term future, Sorsdahl can become that kind of guy, right? They can start full-time at left guard, right guard, you name it. But right now, you're not going to rely upon Sorsdahl. You're not. So who is that guy? I think you might go draft a guy in the NFL draft this April now. You got that pick at number 29 overall. Do you go and get Graham Barton out of Duke? Jackson Powers Johnson, the center out of Oregon, who can play tackle guard, like all over the place. I think he even played D tackle at one point at Oregon for a little bit at least, and was a great center a season ago at Oregon. So those are two interior alignment options, along with Cooper Beebe, who I've mocked the Lions before in my mock drafts at all Lions. And maybe you don't get him at number 29, but you get him in the second round or something. So those are interior alignment options, and you got to get a guy, whether it's in free agency or in the draft, you got to get a guy there because Jonah Jackson is a big loss. And in the same breath, you look at Graham Glasgow, that's a great re-signing. So I'm glad they're bringing him back, but internally, losing Jonah Jackson, that is a big loss and a void now that you have to fill along the interior of the O-line.
Yeah, and it'll be interesting to see, you know, how that reworked offensive line. Look, Graham Glasgow, infectious personality, a likable individual. I think that getting him back in the fold, I think he was rewarded, you know, on a prove-it deal. He went in, performed at a high level, and I think he's going to be motivated and hungry to potentially get back to the Super Bowl as well. And you look at it, this offseason is real interesting and intriguing in regards to, you know, the way in which the Lions have been constructed, their sustainability. Our final topic is obviously taking a look at the competition. Packers, Bears, Vikings. Vikings took a huge loss. I think you don't have to worry about them too much. When you lose your starting quarterback, you're going to go in a different direction. They're probably starting a rebuild. Bears and Packers, though, you have pundits going, wait a minute, pay attention. The Lions winning the division has put the rest of the NFC North on notice. They're paying attention. They're looking at what's going on. And the Vikings just made a draft trade, acquiring an additional first round pick. Many people think that, you know what, having the 11th pick and I think the pick 23 in the first round gives them ammo to potentially move up into the top five if they want an impactful quarterback to ensure that they get their guy. Now, obviously, you realize the Vikings and what they're doing, they're in a rebuild mode and they're trying to, you know, do things to potentially put themselves in a spot for the future. But the Bears and Packers have kind of put in the work to improve themselves. Now, I don't think that they've caught the Lions in any fashion, but are you concerned at all about anything that happened in the NFC? And do you think the Packers right now, as we sit, are the threat right now, the closest threat to derail the Lions? They've had a decent offseason, but not quite as good as the Lions, and we still haven't even gotten to the draft yet.
Well, let me say this. If you listen to anything I say at all Lions, John, which you should, be attentive to me all the time. I am to you all the time. I listen to every single word you say. Okay, every single thing you spew. But I said for a while, the Packers, they indeed are the biggest threat to the Lions in the NFC North. I think even before this offseason, you could argue that the Packers were building towards becoming the biggest threat in the division to the Lions for reigning atop the NFC North for the short term and the long term. The biggest factor is a guy they already had under contract in Jordan Love. Their QB was very good a season ago, especially down the stretch of the regular season into the playoffs. Threw that pick to end the game against the Niners in the playoffs when they lost ultimately in the postseason, John, as you know. But Love, I loved what he did, no pun intended, down the stretch of the regular season. So you have him. Now you lose Aaron Jones, but you bring in Josh Jacobs, a capable running back as well. You still got other options, other weapons like Christian Watson. Defensively, you have tons of playmakers on that side of the ball in Green Bay too, such as Rashawn Gary, the U of M product. So you got guys, a myriad of options offensively, defensively. You can say too, weapons on both sides of the ball with that being said, John. So to me right now, as we speak here, yeah, I think definitely the Packers are the biggest threat to the Lions for winning the NFC North Division in 2024 and maybe beyond the 2024 campaign as well, John. And I know you had Mike Greenberg come out from ESPN and say that, right? The Packers now, they're the team to beat in the NFC North. Like, the Lions' window now to win has passed them by. That's a little bit far-fetched, though, isn't it, John? I think it's a little bit far-fetched, though. I wouldn't go that far about the Lions. They're just coming off of a division championship. How many young stars do they still have on both sides of the ball? Like Penei Sewell and Aiden Hutchinson and Amon Ross St. Brown and Tamir Gibbs, and I can go on and on. Jameson Williams, right, you can throw into there. Sam Laporta. That's a lot of young stars on both sides of the ball right there for the Detroit Lions, and now they've added to some core areas of need, like at edge, right, with Davenport, along the interior of the D-line, getting DJ Reader, at quarterback, getting Carlton Davis, getting Amik Robertson. And they still might do more this offseason via free agency, via this April's NFL draft. And I think they will, John, continue to address these needs. And maybe even add another edge. Maybe Mike Dana, the OSL Pride, Go Pilots. Maybe they add him, another edge rusher. Maybe they add another cornerback in the draft. Maybe they add a wideout, which I think they should add a wideout. How about KJ Osborne, formerly of the Vikings. So there's still guys out there to get via free agency. Once again, via the NFL draft in the first round and the later rounds of the draft. So to me, this division hasn't been won yet. You don't win the division in the offseason, right? You win the division on the field. And the Lions, they split, I know, with Green Bay a year ago. But to me, after winning the division in 2023, they still deserve to be respected as the top team in the division. But are the Packers the biggest threat to the Lions? Sure. I'll give you that at this point in the offseason, John.
Absolutely. And when you look at it fairly, I think your piece was pretty fair. B plus for Brad Holmes and what they've done in free agency. I think that, you know, yeah, there's still opportunities for moves, but you don't think it's going to be for probably as an impactful, more of a role player. Guys in special teams, I think losing Chase Lucas, Anthony Pittman is a loss on special teams. And the Lions definitely clamor for and have a fondness for making sure the special teams is a solid unit. And they took a hit by losing two of their top special teams weapons. So you have some work to do. And you have guys visiting, and that's what Brad Holmes is going to do, is restock the talent. And look, good football teams have their players, coaches move on, and there's constant shuffling. On average, 25-30% roster turnover year over year across the board. And hopefully the moves that the Lions will make, that they have made in free agency and will make in the draft, will contribute to what everybody hopes is another long playoff run. Because, man, was it fun in January to be invested, to be in the league, to be part of one of the top four teams in the league, to be in the NFC Championship game, to have the thrill of competing at a high level and being 30 minutes away. But to fall and crash like that, I think will leave a sour taste in a lot of the organization's mouth. But one final note is that we have to, you know, obviously congratulate Sheila Hemp for rewarding Dan Campbell and Brad Holmes with four-year extensions. Well-deserved, well-earned. Nobody can argue even. I think they maybe even should have highlighted more that Chris Spielman signed an extension as well behind the scenes. I know he's, you know, you don't want to really put that in the bottom of a press release. I think that guy deserves a lot of respect as well in regards to the work that he does. I know he's more of a behind the scenes individual, but we'll highlight Chris Spielman and the work that he's did. One of the heartbeat guys in the front office. It's someone that obviously identifies defensive talent, and we'll see now what they do in regards to the work that they do on offense, because the work in free agency focused on defense. And now going into the draft, we now see and will hope for wondering who the Lions are going to target offensively. And so the next month is going to be fun. Make sure you check out Vito's mock drafts, his review every Friday of what other pundits are projecting for the Lions. Check in with All Lions as we bring you highlights, good content in regards to the Detroit Lions from a 360-degree view, opinions, news, highlights, analysis, videos, what everyone's saying about the Lions 24/7, our video players are definitely bringing you the information as well as the great content columns by yourself and all the information that we bring you at All Lions. Vito, thank you. We appreciate your insight. A real valuable member of All Lions. And even though we treat you like a, you know, seventh round pick, you know your value here to All Lions. You know what? You got first round talent, but seventh round pay, which actually kind of in some way, me and Brad Holmes are the same. We evaluate talent and pay them like seventh rounders. Man, it's a good feeling.
You know what? Can I say this really quick? I'm a valuable seventh round draft pick, then, okay? Yes. A highly valuable seventh rounder. But yeah, Holmes, hey, you're cheap. He's kind of cheap. No, not really. But he's a middle tier kind of guy, right? He likes his middle tier free agents. He just does. And I guess you do too, even though I'm more highly valuable than that. Okay, Johnny. Hopefully now I get to appear on another podcast coming up here sooner than later. I was suspended. It felt like for a month plus. Now I'm in my, you know, return to the show. And now, can you allow me to keep coming back at least for another one before 2 months passes by? That's what happened the first time here. I mean, come on, what's going on? You got to allow me to return sooner than after that last appearance I made at least.
Yeah, no doubt. I should pick up the phone and call you. But others, you know, have better intangibles, better looking, taller. Just they bring something to the table, you know,
we got to constantly.
Hey, listen, at All Lions, we are constantly doing tryouts for the next wave of talent, too. Just like, you know, really
small,
just like,
but hey, small, but I got the heart.
You got the heart,
right? Come on. You know, come on, the grittiness. I'm a gritty player. I'm built for it tough, man. I'm just like a Detroit Lion, right? One pride, baby. And that's what I got here. It's all about here. I got a big heart. And I make up for the lack of height here, okay? Okay, I still got some really good intangibles, mentally and even physically too. So don't slight me one bit, John. I won't stand for that here at All Lions. All right.
Absolutely. What keeps you around for the last decade working with us has been your grit, your heart factor, and the willingness that you have to sign those 1-year deals at veteran minimum prices. You know, the veteran minimum journalist price is great for us, and we appreciate you not coming.
Prove it. Prove it deals. Once again, Brad Holmes. Just like old man. I'm on prove it deals each and every single year. Cheap and affordable talent. And should I say labor?
1-year prove it deals, Vito. That's what we love about you. Thanks, everyone. The All Lions Bang the Table podcast coming to a close. Hopefully you enjoyed our content. We look to bring you more in the coming months. Thanks, Vito. Appreciate your time. Look forward to talking Detroit Lions football down the road.
Keep banging that table. Adios.